It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
personal day or night? Which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend? And share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A little bit of jazz there. I wanted to jazz you up and give you a same feeling that I have today. I'm all jazzed up looking at all of this good money that they take from us and spend it like there's no end to tomorrow. Just big spenders, folks. And I've told you many times over the last couple of weeks about defaults in contracts by PSI, and I don't know if any of you got a chance to catch the story on KGMB or Hawaii News Now. And we're still working hard and struggling to get things in a fashion, in a form that we can explain to you what it is that they do, the city and the state, and we'll be talking about that and just share with you some of the hardships. I know that many of you probably struggle through listening sometimes and seeing that it's repetitive, but actually it's not repetitive. It's just each scenario that I present and share with you or investigate and come back has its similar treatment. It's met with, let's say, without going too far out and losing you, this thing on the PSI contracts, up in that is city contracts with the city and county of Honolulu Environmental Services Branch. Then you have the DFMSMA Design and Construction, and you know they each of them have their own responsibility. But so I make a send an email to ask Marcus Owens. Now he's a PIO officer, Public Information Officer. And, you know, the mayor is always wanting to be presenting himself in public light, is always doing the fine things and things that are better for the earth and you and me and his friends. But we can't control that. It seemed to be a disease that he has. It's about, look, as everything that he touches or that's under his purview has a taint of corruption, has a taint of no ethics, a lack of ethics, and no transparency. This is about, I would say, opaque. He let you see what he wants you to see. A little light shine in, but it's only on his terms. And this mayor is Mayor Caldwell. And this mayor has some grandiose ideas about the environment and how to manage or herd the homeless. You know, that's, I think that he's taken some play from shepherds over in Europe, how to herd people and get what you need from them and look good as if you're doing something for this establishment. But the establishment is continuing to call you up and say, well, you moved them from there, but they're over here now. Well, hey, I'm Kirk Caldwell. I'm not God. You see, so this PSI thing is, I file a request for records with Marcus Owens, Public Information Officer. And this is questions, just basic questions, who, what, when, where, and how, and about KHE Transfer Station, completely ignored me. I mean, when I say ignored, you couldn't have gotten a better cold shoulder. There's no, he should go in the business of training you how to do cold shoulders or just how to ignore the taxpayer. He'd be rich. But you have to persist, be persistent and aggressive in asking for these things. So no answer. So then I proceeded to write a request, a formal request in writing again. And I got some response and then a delay. And finally, I get an email saying that, you know that information you wanted, Mr. Cox? We are estimating that it's 2,427 pages, and we want $607.75 from you. Now, all I want to do is go in. I've asked to have it waived if there's any fees, as you can legally. And this is going to be to educate the public. And that is the only criteria, the requirement. So I balked at that, and I think you would too, and would appreciate if there's public information. And there's this thing about what kind of record-keeping system do they have that they would have to charge a taxpayer $600 just to find the file. I stopped in at Budget and Fiscal Services and to inquire as a status, and this is, well, we are still trying to find the file. So without being shamed or anything, I would never have told the public that. That would not have been my response. We can't find the files. We're looking for the files. Well, if that's the case, am I going to pay for your ineptness, your inability, or is it just a bald-faced lie and a delay that you're implementing or incorporating into your treatment of me? Now, the funny thing is, I'm aware that there are other people making similar or exact requests. And they're informed that they can come in and look at the documents and no cost. So I don't know if the mayor listens to my show, but if you do listen, will you cut it out? Because it's not going to discourage me or deter me. The the facts on the streets are just good enough for me, for my purpose of not trying to promote you and lie to the people. My purpose that I believe is to educate the public about your shortcomings and your inability to manage. So if you are listening, as I believe that you are, or your goons are, carry this message back to them. If you are out there and you're misusing or abusing the public trust and the public money, don't be mad that I'm in pursuit. And I know that it sounds strange and it's not a threat. It's just to say that I believe that as a citizen in a democracy, I'm entitled to it. As a taxpayer, I'm entitled to it. As a journalist, I'm entitled to it. As a radio show host, I'm entitled to it. And so, transparency. Mr. Mayor, you have to understand that when the public finds out that one contractor has received four, a minimum of five contracts, and of that four, a number of them are defaulting on. And then you introduce games and you don't bother to tell the public this. You don't tell them anything. You tell them that we got it, it's in motion, we're going to fix it, it's the project is funded, and you vote for me next year. But the reality is, and I guess it's a common illness in politics or politicians. I don't know if it's a contagious disease or they just pass it on to one another. I don't know. But the situation is, in this setup, the money comes in, they boast about having it. But they tell you, they go to the neighborhood boards, they put on their websites, they do all those nice things, and they so that you have the wool pulled over your eyes and it appears that they're doing something. They don't have a say in it once they sign the contract. They should have a say in it, but they hands off because they've gotten accomplished what they want. They look good, they get the political points, and on. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, Charles. So, that cloak and dagger stuff is really underhanded. Mm-hmm. And if it's okay, I just want to tell the listeners about another issue because, well, we only have until Friday, I guess, this week to speak out about it.
Okay.
And that's the DLNR's proposed amendment to the Hawaii Administrative Rules regarding the harbor caps.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that they propose starving the cats, and they're proposing fines for the managed colonies, or even jail of the people that feed and caretake these animals. And well, I went to the hearing yesterday, and if people want to tell the DLNR that this is not acceptable, they can go to the where they can email them regarding HAR 13-232. And for more information, I guess it's on the Cat Friends website, the Humane Society's website, and the DLNR has resisted acknowledging the trap, neuter, release, managed cats as a valuable part of decreasing the cat populations. And obviously the six cats don't breed. And all the issues they bring up against cats relate to the breeding ones. So so it really is, it's causing a lot of harm to the solution rather than, you know, making any kind of, you know, helping the problem that they are, by doing this, going to be very, very harmful. And so I did, you know, type something up that I'm going to send in as a testimony and as a veterinarian, Dr. Jill, I talked on the show, and you know if anybody was listening at that time, but it would be all right if I just read what I'm sending in, a couple paragraphs.
Okay, go ahead. But give the address that you want people to write or contact.
Oh, okay. So the, I'll say again about the HAR, which is the, what does HAR stand for?
Hawaii Administrative Rules.
So HAR 13-232. So that's going to be the subject. HAR 13-232. And then the email is DLNR, and then that HAR again, Hawaii
Administrative Rules.
Review. H-A-R review. H-A-R-R-E-V-I-E-W at Hawaii.gov. That's DLNR.H-A-R-R-E-V-I-E-W at Hawaii.gov.
Okay.
And so you have until Friday to be against this because people are really going to be hurt. And animals and really wrong. Let me turn this thing down.
You're breaking up there.
Because I think it's important that people know how harmful this kind of thing is and how much misinformation and misleading information is out there because of these folks that are against this very, very important part of reducing the cat population. In my testimony, I said I'm against this because starving is inhumane, and it's morally wrong to seize or dispose of these animals, and that it is a vital part of reducing the harbor cat population safely for the balance of the ecosystem. In 1993, I started my veterinary business, the Catbird Veterinary Mobile. Each year, for the last 24 years, Oahu residents bring me owls. They're suffering from rodenticide poisoning. Most of them are too far gone to save. And the cat fisheries management cats at the harbor play a very important role to reduce these tragedies. Most of the trapped, neuter, released cats are already immune to toxoplasmosis, which is an issue that always dramatize against the cats. They actually protect against further spread. And to prove this, I quoted to them the most widely referred to veterinary publication that cats generally develop immunity to the initial infection, and therefore they spread the disease only once in their lifetime. So after this hearing and listening to people yesterday, I realized that, you know, I need to add some basics to this because people don't. Unless you have a medical background, you might not understand what I just said. So first, toxoplasmosis is everywhere in the environment. It rarely causes disease. The stage in the soil, animal carcasses, is resistant, and it's there for decades. And you can't say how much, you can't measure it. Most outdoor cats get the disease by eating a rodent or bird, and as I quoted, they spread or shed the disease only once. After that, there are soldiers, because their bodies fight off any new infections. If they do what they plan to do, then there's going to be a high turnover, and it'll be counterproductive. So, and the nature of the disease makes it very hard to study. Studies have been debunked, others have conflicting results. When I hear the studies, with the details, and often they appear exactly how the research intended it to appear. And then instead of it appears that way, it spouted its facts. So these studies are, you know, are not facts. They're studies with percentage results that may appear one way or another. And then the other study appears the other way. Now there's tons of food spills. There's gallons of spills, runoff of the land, and most of the ocean toxoplasmosis is from that. Removing the harbor cats is not going to make the least bit of difference. So I'm a conservationist, and this war against the trap-eater mismanaged cats is counterproductive, as I said. It's a valuable part of solving cat overpopulation. And so I'm telling folks information, and I'm hoping they'll, you know, tell the DLNR of what they're doing is wrong. Also, you know, killing these cats, these folks have spent money, worked so hard to fix. There's a bond between the caretakers and the cats, and they sit with them, and there are a few that are emotionally fragile, and they, you know, they fall apart. They can lose it if they're told they have to starve these animals. And they don't, you know, do well in jail. And most of the feeders, though, are extremely strong. They're stronger than your average bear. And they're intelligent working citizens. There's police officers, firefighters, the airline attendants, engineers, like everyone that has a good job. You know, they're not crazy people. They're good people.
So who's the culprit? Suzanne Case?
I believe she's introduced it.
Because it's an administrative rule, she's going to sit there it's also funny that everything the governor appointed her, and she has been busy. If there's money that she can shave off and send to her friends, and any program, the alien species, even right down to the abuse of the radiated trash that was Fukushima trash. There was $1 million there, and give you an example. I tried to get documents to show their spending and their accountability, and they couldn't. And so let me tell the public that this is not about managing wildlife, because if it was, they would be embracing the people and working with it rather than dictating these practices. And yes, cats are there because of many reasons. They do eat birds, and I'm the last person would want to see any interaction or predation by cats on native birds. But when you look at the upkeep of the harbors, you have to ask yourself, if you're motivated, if the cats are so damn important and so obnoxious and the greatest threat, then why are we seeing open buckets of barrels and 5-gallon buckets of oil? How is it that the oil can leak from tanks that millions and millions of gasoline or jet fuel right there in Kehi Lagoon or Kehi Harbor? And how is it that the houses that are sitting out there that is in the water, the recreationists in the water, and they have, where are they going to the bathrooms? They're not hooked up to sewage. So I am appalled that anyone would advance this without looking at things in total. The site, I'll think of it in a minute, but the disease that they try to introduce, we dispel that and show that they lied, and that NOAA and its contractors had a game going on. So there is something wrong, and when you look at anywhere, the people, are they curtailing the number of people that use these areas? These areas can only take so much impact from human beings and the visitation by human beings. Are we going to kill cats and steal the people trashing and dumping and spilling and illegally handling trash? And Ed Underwood is behind this. Why don't we see some of those people go to jail for the abuse of the monies that are under their watch in the DLNR boating? So I think it's just a major distraction based on what I've reported here. And
very deceptive, and everything that I've seen is it makes, like, the woman who spoke out yesterday, who's into Native Hawaiian practitioner, she wanted the amendments, and she was mistakenly under the impression it would help the cat problem, which it's not. It's going to just harm the people who are are helping, are actually helping
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the trap neuter release. Hold on, the trap neuter release program is sanctioned by law. If I'm not mistaken, Honolulu revised statutes or something.
And that's how they're trying to get around it.
Well, no,
I wanted to tell this lady about Uncle Joe because he's a pure Hawaiian and he was an alcoholic suffering from severe depression. He tried to take his own life a couple times. And this is way back. He had befriended a Hawaiian, another Hawaiian, a feeder, and the wife, and they made friends with the cat. And he told me that it saved his life. It gave him a reason. He quit drinking. And something very bad may happen if somebody tells Uncle Joe he has to starve. This cat says that he's befriended. And so this native Hawaiian thing about, you know, that it's deceiving these people who think that cats are going to stop shooting in their canoe, which they don't anyway. It's against their nature. And the wife just said the cat was shooting in
their canoe. What laws are they attempting to implement that speaks specifically to the arrests of people that are abandoning cats, that are bringing cats?
It's HAR 13.232.
No, I mean,
the amendment that they're going to add cats. They're not allowed to feed the cats. They're not allowed to feed the cats, and there's a fine or a jail sentence.
Now, I understand that. I'm asking you, what are they doing? Is there any change in law that speaks specifically increasing fines and being more aggressive to the person that has cats at home and decide to move out of country, move out of state, and dump them in the wild? Are they taking any actions on that?
First thing, they should do that instead.
So what this is, once again, it's this alien species mindset, and I guarantee you, Suzanne Case, somewhere down the line there's some money, government money, that grants and what have you. Like, for example, you take the monument over there at Monolulu Bay. She had her fingers in that to take a great portion of that for her own personal organizations and what have you, and her friends. You try to get involved in that, and now they are now soliciting people to come back and help pull out more alien Ogo. You see, I think $3-5 million or something has been spent and given to them, but only certain groups, right? And they introduce, well, we're going to take some of this material and put it in the farms and use it for, you know, all this cockamamie dreaming nonsense, but they get the money. And so the cat thing, I think, is just a ploy. Yes, we have cats in the wild. They do eat birds, and we must be aggressive and taking measures to prevent that. But I don't see across the board, in total, looking at the big picture, this is going to do anything but harass people. And it's an assault on public's right to care, right to participate. And they should have been reaching out, working with the public. But instead, they demonize them and then criminalize them. And $1,000. I would wish they would bill a bill for impersonating an honest person in government. And I think 90% of them.
Charged.
Yeah.
But you know, I just want to add something about the birds. Is that, you know, the rats are going to be responsible for a lot more deaths of birds. Not only the owls, some people, that when the rats go nuts, not only the owls, but, you know, these rats go up, and most of our birds the forest birds are nectar feeders. They don't ever touch the ground. The rats go up in the trees, not the cats.
Mm-hmm.
They rob the nest. The ones on the ground, the ground nesters, the feeders are very aware, and they don't have colonies where we have ground nesting native birds.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the minimal amount of birds that is going to be harmed, there's going to be like a thousand times more when the rats go nuts.
Yeah, well, one bird is too many for losing it to anything, but I'm speaking to a bigger problem that seems to escape.
One bird versus 100 birds.
That escapes anybody's imagination. Number one, when you take these situations in, I would like to see in the harbors the abandonment of boats. The speaking, if you want to save birds and what have you and habitat, take measures to create a better boat ramp, boat washing area. Prohibit commercial trucks from entering into the harbors and what have you, and parking and this kind of stuff. Be more aggressive on punishing and investigating people that conduct commercial businesses in the harbors when it's not supposed to be without permits. All of those things, but we don't see that. What we see, and then the blame is, it's taking away habitat. Go out to Sand Island at the harbors there and just walk to the Diamond Head direction, and you see how much conservation is occurring there. You got a sewage treatment plant. You have at the ports and the docks and what have you. The toilets overflow. The sewage goes into the water. The wash racks, the showers, and all. But they're going to be myopic and focus strictly on cats. And I just think that it is just a ploy. There's money. It's like the pinata that's hanging in its money, and Suzanne Case and her cronies and the environmental community should be reaching out to all sides, not just demonizing and partnering up with her to enhance her. You know, they're always against. They're going to save this. You see. Going to save that. And then how do we do that? Well, we insult the common sense and the common good of the average citizen. And that's how we get it. We force it on them. We force feed them. We make them take it. And we do that by hook and crook and going in and putting in a law, a new law, that when you got game wardens and biologists can't work because she's bringing in private people to do things that she didn't want. She wants to control money with her other groups, conservation and national and others, putting them first, as we pointed out here on this show, putting them first and allowing them to work in their offices, and then while pushing back and leaving the position to be temporary as associate, the head of the director of the administrator of the DLNR Aquatics Division, part-time job so that he can get his full-time retirement pay. You see all this crap that goes around, and then we come back to this, oh, it's a cats. It's a farce. We need to make sure that cats are the populations are controlled and punish people that are illegally dumping them, but we shouldn't go at it because some person that's going to be here temporarily comes in and see money available under the alien species effort and the acts, I'm sweeping up seeds at my house that the city have planted trees that can just grow everywhere. So it's a big lie, and it's about the money. It's about conservationists being extremists, and to hell with the general public, what they think, because we know what we want, and that's it. They go out into the parks and make a list of just things such as this. In the harbors, there are people that are bringing the kids in to drive around and teach them how to drive. That should be illegal. That's, you know, all kinds of things if you want to protect the environment. Just this entire process, I stand back and look at it. But I will say to you, this administration is fraught with lies and trickery, and it's wrong, and it's not going to get anything done. If you tag an animal and you have it microchipped under the what do you call it? It's trap, neuter, release, and it's sanctioned by the Humane Society, correct?
Yes, Humane Society has the database.
Right, not just a database, but they condone it and they are part of that program, correct?
Yes.
They are enforcement. They have adopted the laws, and they're entitled to enforcement of those laws, city laws. And so how can you have a program that has, say, we're going to microchip animals and they belong to the person that's microchipped? How can the DLNR come in and then just kill the animal or starve it to death? But what they're going to do is hire exterminators. And their exterminators are going to go out and trap and kill. That's how it will be done. And then
States for it.
And it is not a solution to anything. Trust me, because that's just the way it is. You go to Waipahu High School, they're trapping cats there. You go everywhere, but it's just a source of revenue now. You understand? But they won't say anything to the developers. Suzanne Case hadn't stood toe-to-toe with one single developer in this state. She hadn't stood one toe-to-toe with one person that want water, that want to divert it from the common people or the lay people that want to use the water in the communities on the other islands. You understand? She hasn't said anything to the state health department. She hasn't.
This is going to be negative impact on
well,
the environment.
It's just a shell game. It's to enhance her standing. It's enhance environmental community standing. There's money. There's tax dollars, and that's what it's about. It has nothing to do with conservation. I can guarantee you that based on what I've seen, what I've witnessed, and what I've documented. There is problems with everything, but this is our harbors are poorly run anyway. If you go over there, you get impaled on a rebar. You understand?
Yes.
So where is her love and care for that when, in fact, you know, I'm just here to say to all that she may be able to implement it, but it's bogus. It has nothing to do, and she has game wardens. They've spent most of the times looking, some of the managers getting special time, right, to go to fireworks shows on weekends, and managers up in the upper level don't work on weekends by rule, but for some reason they go out and they work. So it should go to defer to the lower ranking people. So I would say that her house is so in disorder, I would trust nothing that Suzanne Case is advancing or putting forward, nothing.
Thanks for that information. That's typical of everything that you keep exposing.
Exposing. Let me give you an example here.
It's all about money.
Well, let me give you an example. Why the tone that I'm speaking in today? Just yesterday. I'm getting a call from someone, and they inform me that, hey, there's fish are dying in the stream, right? Now, we got game wardens. I don't remember ever seeing a document or ever hearing a game warden, because it's not their policy or anything, to go out and document or take action on illegal dumping. But just yesterday, the river is red with some kind of chemical. The river has dead opi. And I mean the large prawns, the big prawns, fish kill. And in there's Hawaiian stilts and plovers and other species of migratory, and the Gallinu, the coot, frequent that area or use that area. And to date, haven't seen a game warden, haven't seen Suzanne Case. So it's that kind of situation that leaves me to say that no. This is about money, and somewhere down the front, they were paying money to bring their friends out of the Fukushima contaminated material drifting this way and abusing that money. Going around the office, going, anybody got anything they need to buy or spend money on? We have this money. But when I asked for the records, wouldn't give me the records.
They want $600.
Well, that's a different crook.
Get you off their back.
No, what it speaks to is it's an us and them. If you're part of the environmental community, the elitists, and you're part of the Suzanne Case love song and sing the same verses she sing, then it looked like you're doing something. But when has she spoken out of, if you want to talk about cytoplasmosis, toxoplasmosis, then she should be, and with NOAA, prosecuting the city and county of Honolulu for its numerous spills in the state that poses a great threat to wildlife, birds, because fecal matter and all of that and bad quality water can create botulism, right, if the conditions are right in these small ponds and what have you, killing off many. Do you see her aggressively pursuing that or even speaking out to it?
Yeah, there's all kinds of things that ruin us that are going to be a danger to the wildlife out there. Chemicals, toxins, leptospirosis, you name it, and it's...
Yeah, so anyway, I...
So if they want to do something that's actually beneficial, then they would address the development runoff and the and, you know, the amount of chemicals that are allowed to be, you know, that you've been letting us know that I'm turning a blind eye to.
Right. Well, I don't think it'll go very far, and I can't imagine that it will sit well. I believe some legal action, there could be a legal action, because cruelty, that's what it's going to set up, in all honesty, a cruel setup situation for the DLNR to be sued for any inhumane treatment. The Humane Society should be speaking out and
they actually were there, and they sent out emails.
Hmm?
They were there at the hearing. They sent out emails to the folks, the rescue folks. And
yeah, but this thing has been floating for some while now, the talk of it, so there needs to be more aggressive, more specific effort on their part.
Even if they do it and it's not binding, there's people who are going to think that it's okay, and animals and people will get very, very hurt, maybe they don't have the resources to sue anyone. They'll just
sue collectively. You there's many of things, and I've always said one thing about it, and to the cat feeders and the people that call in the care, this thing about you don't want to say anything because they may come and do you in or take advantage of you or abuse you or whatever, that day has come. So it pays to speak out, and as a voice of one, all of you should get together and speak out. But this thing about, well, they'll retaliate against my colony if I speak out. Well, Suzanne Case doesn't think like that. She will just abuse you just because she is the head of the DLNR, and Governor David Ige has no clue in the sensitivity to people's concerns and humanity. I mean, look what they're doing to the human beings. And so,
another thing that I wrote in about.
Yeah, so, I mean, we need some magic, and something's wrong. But anyway, we'll come back in the next hour. We got to take a break.
And
all right, thank you, and we'll pick up the other subject. And anybody else has have any other subject, please call in. We can always change courses, right?
Aloha.
Change. All right, aloha. So this is about the cats in the wild and what have you, and it's a task. The difficulty is that there's this us and them mentality. There's this scientific community who has this idea, and it's always evolving. But none of them in the scientific community have the balls to go out in the conservation community to go out and take a stance once and for all. Instead of demonizing people, reach across the table and speak to the other people, and maybe in talking with them, they can work together. But it's always a dictate. It's always, we want this done, so here's how we do it. We put in, they have the governor to appoint Suzanne Case, who is looking for handouts for her own private interests, and then in turn, she will get things done, and the things done will be minuscule when you look at the big problem. Many issues are not addressed here in the harbors. Many issues are not addressed in the conservation. If they're conservation-minded, let me give you an example. She just promoted one of the gentlemen that were involved in the illegal use of the helicopter for picking up hee-hee vi and what have you, that they've already admitted with the branch chief and what have you. You understand? So she did everything within her reach to not speak to that and get it quashed. But you can illegally take animals if you work for the agency. You can rape little girls while in uniform or while on duty or whatever, and you don't see anything. But kill the cats. Let's kill the cats. Let's go out there. We got a big problem. And then you have on the Big Island people saying that the boating department is one of the most corrupt agencies there are. But kill the cats, because cats poop on the ground and then toxoplasmosis gets to the ocean, but then sewage spills, and in the parks the sewage spills, and in the harbors the bathrooms don't work, and they got showers, and not a damn word. Not a word. Now, I know you can't go around and kill people because they're creating these problems, but we should have some logical approach and not have a dictator sitting there shaving off money or steering money, because I guarantee you, at the end of the day, what's going to happen with this bill or this effort, their friends are going to get hired and their nephews and nieces will be brought out here on the plane, and it'll be another fun time, a summer camp in Hawaii. And that's the way the game played here, folks. That's the way it's played. They don't incorporate local people. You look at the sponsorship and the scholarships that are handed out around the Monk Seals and that whole effort. Nothing handing to the local kids. It's all about the young Haole kids that are coming from the mainland, that is the aunt, uncle, niece, has someone in connection. So that's what this is about. And it's a reality. And if you want to talk about it in depth, I'll be happy to and share with you all the specifics. So we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save.
Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me right here at KWAI 1080 AM from 9 o'clock to 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can also catch us on podcasts at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. You can also share your news tips with us at carolcox.com. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Back on this defaults on contracts. Now, at the Maipalaoa Bridge on Farrington Highway in Maile, we'll say, or in the Waianae area. Now, that bridge, this is 110-14. Miley's blog. This is State Senator Miley Shimabukuro's blog. I did send her an email or message asking her if she could call or comment or what have you, but maybe she didn't get it. But anyway, we were able to glean from her blog and her website and other places her comments and her standing on this. This is transportation update, safety projects along the Farrington Highway as of 1-10-14. The project title is Farrington Highway Replacement of the Maipalaoa Bridge. Scope of work, this project will replace the existing Maipalaoa Bridge, including the addition of piers, asphalt pavement reconstruction, utility relocation, and other related improvements. The estimate is $14,700,000. The estimated schedule, the bid is open from 2014 December to January 2015. And so that was that on that Malai or the bridge. But now in July 21st, off of her, I guess we'll call it, she wrote, millions allocated for traffic relief for Waianae Coast. And now keep this date in mind, July 21st, 2017. Now, I don't know what to make of this, but you can draw your own conclusions, but I have some concerns. And speaking of transparency, that's why I reached out to Miley to inquire so we don't impugn someone's integrity. But I'll have to ask the question. So this, her Senate communications. Other improvements projects currently in works for the Waianae Coast include the replacement of the Maipalaoa Bridge and resurfacing of Farrington Highway from Satellite Tracking Station to Kunia, Kiana Point to Keeley Drive. Now, I have no issue with that, but this was, again, done on July 21st, 2017. But now, a letter from, I wrote DOT, Department of Transportation, and asked the question, when did he notify, a PSI notify or default on this, that he was defaulting? And they wrote me back, DOT wrote me back, thank you for the opportunity to respond to your inquiry. Performance Systems, Inc. notified HDOT of March 29th, 2017, that it would not be able to complete the Maipalaoa Bridge Improvements Project. Prior to the selection of the bidding process, the company was verified to be in good standing. Moving forward, the surety company will be responsible for the completion of the project under the specifications and satisfaction of the state per the contract agreement. The surety company is 100% bound by statute, regulations, and contract language, including the case of default. And we are confident that the matter will be resolved without double payment by the state. Confident now. And the project is 5% complete. Keep that one in mind. 5% complete. And which is approximately $760,000 of work. That is the work performed on the project included the mobilization. So that is the estimated amount they say they spent. They, being DOT, paid this person $760,000 for 5% of the work on that bridge, the replacement of that bridge. Now, again, I didn't find anything where Miley Shimabukuro, Senator Shimabukuro Miley, had notified she and Cedric Gates in this. He's mentioned, you know how Tulsi Gabbard, you know how politicians do when they got something and it's a bright, shiny balloon. They have nothing to do with filling it up or probably don't even know what it was really, the details of where it came from, it, but they'll write it up and say, look what we've done, so vote for me. You know, it's that kind of thing. And it's not just unique to the Democrats or in this situation. It's unique to no one. It's a practice. But the big question I have, if the DOT is telling me they were informed that the default was, they were notified of the default and March 29th, 2017, when did Miley go to the neighborhood boards or in her communications? Maybe I may have overlooked it, but if I have, please, Miley, in a later date, please provide that, if you would be so kind to give me that, because I would want to know March, then April, May, June, 3 months go by, and there have been a number of meetings and opportunities to inform the public or your constituents that this project that was in the works is no longer in the works. It might be in the works in that the bonding is, the company is going to take care of it, but how long is that and what long a wait? Is it going to involve legal issues or strategies, and is it going to be, what is it involved? And how long does the people have to, do the people have to work and wait for this? This is a bridge that is unsafe in its conditions. DOT wants to, twist words and say, well, it's not dangerous. It's dangerous. It's not in the best condition. And if you'd like to see some of it, go to carolcox.com. You can see many of the pictures and posted. But back to this. Now, the senator may have written something or may have disclosed this, but if she had and have not, didn't know and were not informed of it, what does that say about the DOT? Now, yeah, it may be viewed as a stumbling block, but the point is, this is a delay. You saw that this thing now is going on 3 years and not much done. Now, back to this 5% work performed. If you go to the area, you don't see any work done on the bridge. But off the beaten trail there is a open field area where they've placed two trailers, they being PSI, apparently renting or some agreement they have with the Honolulu Modular Company, whom we spoke with. And they identified it as PSI was renting those, but apparently was in the rears on the pavement. This is per the people there. They couldn't tell me the specifics because I was thinking I better alert them. Maybe the state had not alerted them. So, and there are a number of vendors out there that may have been impacted, delivered goods at various job sites but didn't get paid for them. And the state trying to be hush-hush about it or keep it a secret and not telling anyone because of the embarrassment that they've been taken again. And, they don't want to be like the University of Hawaii with the Marvin Gaye concert, There is no Marvin or Stevie Wonder. I'm sorry. But again, something, their vanity, there's something, it's a personal thing. It's not about getting the people's work done and not informing the people. So Gabbard and Tulsi Gabbard and what's the young man named Cedric Gates and Miley, they're really mentioned in this thing here as this major accomplishment, great things they've done. But I wonder if they know, even if there was a default. And if they did know, why didn't they tell them? Maybe if they told, please share that with me. I would like to see what was the state shared with you to share with the public. So this 5% now, if you see it, it's the project is a 5%, is 5% complete, which is approximately $760,000. Now, I'm told they pay that to the person. And this was putting a black cloth down, putting two trailers in, and putting a catchment, BMPs they call it, like the black sausage with the stuff crushed up, wood chips and what have you that's inside to keep from runoff into the stream. Well, so, while the improvement project is necessary, the structure is inspected at least every other year and is safe. Every other year and is safe. Now, I don't know much about bridges, and I won't say that I know anything about it, but I can read and I have some common sense. And if you look at some of the structures, if it's not dangerous, then why didn't they just let the guy do a half-assed job when he first put the bridge in? And said, oh, well, we'll just, you don't need to put more concrete over there or more cement there. Just put half the amount you put in. Because in many of those beams, it's just that. A lot of it is sloughed off. Spalling is occurring in major fashion. Splitting in major fashion. So to say that is not safe and to say that they inspect it every other year is not a good, calm, cuddly feeling. It doesn't leave me enough room to trust you. And so there is something wrong here. Are they bound by keeping it quiet because they don't want, they're embarrassed? Now, this is a state project now, not a city project. But again, the it's, quote Cedric Gates, it's heartening to see the support we're getting to ease the traffic congestion our community has to deal with on a daily basis, said Rep. Gates. By addressing the traffic problem from a variety of angles with meaningful solutions, Waianae residents will hopefully soon have a smoother commute and more quality time with family. That's brilliant. I love that. That's good. But tell me what I need to know. How about the default? Where is my tax dollars? Why is this project going so long? Do you know about it? If they've kept you in the dark, too, then there's something you need to ask for some heads to roll. You know, something needs to happen. But this thing goes on and on and on. And in joint effort now, this is, again, that shiny balloon they want to brag about. In joint effort, Senator Shimabukuro and Councilwoman Pine were able to secure $6 million, which was allocated 2016 to extend the improvement of Waianae emergency access roads. And so everyone gets their chime in, right? But the reality is there's a bridge that's sitting there that's dangerous, that is not in its best condition, not in its in a form, and I mean you need to see this. It will scare the living hell out of you, and that's just the only way to put it. Not looking at it from a scientific standpoint, the creeping that is going on, the spalling, the cracking, the rust, is all of that. And there are pictures, and we recovered, again, thanks to Tina Quizon for her research and providing me documents on, there's some major concerns with just the basic impact on the hurricane that may hit here. It don't take a big one. But a Category 5, they say, or it depends on the wave action. And if you, not only is the problem exists with the spalling and the breaking of the cement and the rebar that's exposed, along the, we'll call it an apron, so to speak, and that runs along the stream wall, and it's cement. But there are holes in it. So when the water goes in, it's impacting. But when it's coming out, on the tides going out, it's going to gouge out and eat away at the. And so what you see is the foundation of this bridge is actively being threatened per each wave. And if you go up the channel, right now it's buried. The sand is blocking it. So there's no room for water to come through. So if we were to get keen tides in sufficient amount, there are reports that talk about waves being able to, just waves now, hitting this bridge would render it useless. So why do you think they would allow a situation to develop that way? I mean, with this kind of money. And in fact, it is kind of mind-boggling. The things that you should know, they don't tell you. The things that you really, you know, okay, that's what we sent, we voted you for. We good for you. That's and when we see the delivery of the final product, we'll know whose name to associate with the success. But the reluctancy or the purposely withholding information and not telling that. And I say that loosely because I've spoken with a few people over there in the community of near this bridge and in that area and asked them, did they know about this and they're attending the neighborhood boards or have they heard? And they've said, no, we know nothing about the defaults. So that's very, very interesting. Now, I don't know what it is that we can do on this end, but the DOT as well. Now, I ask them for questions, and the questions I finally get answered some 3-4 days later. And again, so we'll have to file a formal full request to the UIPA. And this may not sound important, but we're looking at a number of projects that have these questions. And just on my way in here this morning, I had someone to call and say that we need to look at another company on with similar pattern of reception with the way the city has allowed them to operate as it relates to contracts. Now, do we have that kind of money to blow, to lay around, hand our friends? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But that is just one aspect, and we'll keep looking at the bridge. We'll do some of the reading on the permits, and we're not bridge experts. We know just enough to get ourselves across the line and create a trigger of this. Well, you're not an expert, so you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, well, show me the money. I know about that. So whatever it is you're proposing, whatever science you're offering, it isn't worth anything anyway because you're not getting the job done. You're not implementing the science. You're not incorporating the science. You can't even keep track of the guy defaulting. Now, mind you, there's an auction. If you're interested in buying equipment, I'll put a plug in for this gentleman, PSI, the Honolulu auction, Oahu auction, or whatever it is. Go there, and there in August, beginning of August or early part of August, there is a couple of pieces of equipment that is being auctioned off. Now, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the process, but the excavator that's at Kehi, that looked like you can recover $25,000 or, you know, the front end loader, you could get another $25,000. That's $50,000 of taxpayers' dollars you could put back in the coffers, replenish it. But maybe there's some legal element here that prohibits the city from taking any of that. And so it's really difficult to understand and get grasp of this, what is to say what is happening with this. I'm trying to pull up this advertisement for the auction. Okay. And the auction is at the Major Construction Company auction. Starts August 2017. The online auction will begin in August. There's one John Deere tractor here that he's offering for their offering. And then there's other stuff. The auction details. Major General Construction Company, heavy equipment, loaders, excavators, multiple pickup trucks, multiple forklifts, and then some. So I'm trying to read this off of a text message. But anyway, I don't know if the person gets to keep this equipment and cash it in himself, or does the public get it? I don't know. But the delay in the business and all of that presents a problem. Now, isn't that pretty cool? You got people talking to you every day and telling you how great they are and things are so good, but the work itself is not being done. No matter what what I think about the politicians and the bureaucrats. The bottom line is the work is not being done, and that's what we hire them for. So in other words, we have basically paid people, an army of people, to oversee a project that never happened. So we might ask for our money back. They didn't deliver anything. Not, I don't mean the contractor, but the workers. That just went up in smoke. Their salaries and all was for nothing. That as it relates to they didn't deliver a product. I know that sounds like I'm stretching and being picky, but the reality is how many more projects are like this? And so we have this circle of friends and cronies and politicians and what have you, and patting one another on the back and getting the good points and delivering the good points to the public, and then leaving the public in the dark, only telling them what it is that will advance their image and, you know, help their image, keep their jobs, get their salaries, get their education and all of those things and their medical, and yet the work that we agreed that they would be paid for, the state workers, it's just sitting over there waiting to be done. And while they're saying, oh, it's safe, it's not a problem, it's safe, we don't know it's safe. And if it was safe, then why are we spending money on it? Is it we spend money to predict and to prevent? It ain't preventive maintenance, trust me. This bridge is pretty much on its last leg. And there are a couple others, you know, and it's one of the top 10 most used bridges as well in the county of Honolulu, or it's in the state, actually, the bridge report, the National Bridge Association, or whatever that is. But, again, going to throw something else in here with the Kuahel Street project. That was a default by the same company. I write to design and construction. I call. They blow me off. They don't talk to me. This is under the mayor, Mr. Good-looking Kirk Caldwell. Show me the homeless and I'll run them out. You know, it's like... It resonates. It's sad. But when that's his treatment of the people, you see, why is it? I have this question to ask publicly. Why is it that he is on state land kicking the people off when the jurisdiction? And I know there's a memorandum of agreement, a memorandum of understanding, but why is it not the state in full force with black boots and swastikas under their shirts to go out there and run these people off? Why is it the mayor? Why is he so eager to get this done? Because he don't want tourists coming in at the airport and seeing that? He's, you know, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. And then go out and contract it. I guess we make now hire people to inflict and deprive the public of their rights. Does that create a layer of conflict, or does it insulate the state and the city when they contract with a private entity to go out and do it? Have they divested themselves of the legal responsibility, they being the state and the city? Or will they be held accountable as well? Still yet vicariously, or the responsibility. I don't know. But these are the kinds of things that go on. So if you think that things have gotten better and they can't get any worse, I'm going to try to avoid mentioning the names, but I got a letter here from, and bear with me, I did not pick through it for the sake of the show, but say that I'm a homeowner on Kuahel Street, and I just wanted to thank you for the interest in our situation and contacting the news. Okay. We were forced to move out back in June, as our retaining wall is one good storm away from crashing down into our home and taking the carport with it. You may have also noticed a huge sinkhole in the front yard, which is actually on city property. We have engaged legal counsel and have filed a lawsuit against the city and Board of Water Supply. As you know, these sorts of cases can be drawn out for years. We are hopeful that we will prevail in the end and hold the city accountable for their negligence in not properly maintaining the infrastructure and not following through on their promises to mitigate the soil and erosion issues years ago. Now, this is the same area now that the city goes and allows PSI to be the contractor. They were not the original contractor. They didn't have the lowest bid. I understand that the original contractor who won the bid the lowest, started the work but decided not to. They couldn't do it. Then PSI somehow got involved and got the job. Now, again, PSI had already defaulted, or not already, had defaulted, has defaulted at H-Power, KEHE, and other places. So we're very concerned about the increase in water and sewer breaks over the past few months. I was over at the house last week, Thursday, and the Board of Water Supply was repairing yet another leak in from off the home in the area. As I was driving by, there was an awful stench of raw sewage. I understand from another neighbor that there was another break further down the street within the same week. Both were emergency all-night repairs. This leads me to believe that there is an increasing sewage leaking into the soil. We were wondering and they want to get in touch with the EPA. So the city is under a consent decree, mandated to fix these broken sewer lines, Nuanu, and other areas. But the state health department drags its feet, does not enforce the consent decree because they don't have the personnel. But the EPA gave the money to hire personnel, but they don't have the personnel. Now you see why I speak the way I do in my tone when I hear, we got to kill the cats, because killing the cats, they kill the rats, they kill the birds, they kill this and they kill that. And in turn, we have sewage flowing like it's holy water. You see, that just don't make sense. If sewage was good for you, one thing, but that's polluting and fouling the soils, the air, the people having to breathe it, the sulfur, carbon, you know, the hydrogen sulfide and all of that associated with, and the children exposed to, the roads are bubbling with water. So this is unbelievable. And again, the city is at that scene, is involved with that situation. The city's contractor, I don't care if there was a geologist, I guess I'll call him a geologist. He was saying the slippage and what have you. But for me, I didn't see any real proof where he had any evidence that they had ruled out that the sewage leaking underground did not have an impact or influence or accelerate or exacerbate the actual slippage, the natural slippage, the forces that are causing this naturally. Didn't rule it out. But again, we talked to you about this in Nuanu on another house, the mud sliding down. What was involved? A sewer line. A broken sewer line. Same setup. And what did the city do? They employed tactics to pit neighbor against neighbor. So take, for example, you heard that fence there mentioned. She said they had a wall. But you initially start off over the years thinking that it is the city and county of Honolulu's responsibility. It is their pipe that's broken. It's causing this problem. And the city basically just shuns the people, blow them off. And subsequently, things get worse and worse. So one neighbor then turns and sues the other neighbor, saying, well, you know that this and this and this contribute to the demise of my property, so I'm taking legal action against you. If that being the case, does that nullify, or does that say now because they file a case against their neighbor, blaming their neighbor for the problem, is the city off the hook? And that seems to be a strategy that the city, we see it in other places that we've been in, and that's just not ethical. Just not ethical, folks. And you know what's really frightening about this? Today it's them. Tomorrow it's me or you. And you might think that this is just a one-sided, lopsided conversation. But I'm telling you, when you get caught in their tentacles, the city's tentacles, and the game it plays, you've not experienced the pain that I've witnessed in many of homeowners and property owners, that you don't have the money to fight them. It's not your responsibility, but it's your responsibility, because it's cheaper to take money or accept what it is that they're dishing out than to take them to task or challenge them legally. Is that a democracy? Sounds like the tax man has a great interest and control. So that is just some of the things that the city encountered, and I think it's important, as I said before the call came in earlier, and that I'm trying to lay this out so you can see. One day you'll understand it. Right now, probably, as I said earlier, probably have no bearings or influence on you right now. But always be poised to know that something can go wrong in your community, where the entire community is impacted, and it may be a power line, it may be a sewage line, it may be a water line, but ultimately, the way things work here, ownership is transferred immediately. Once you start to challenge, the ownership becomes yours. So you didn't break it, but you'll bear the burden of the expense that it takes to rectify, fix this. So we asked the city and county of Honolulu some questions, and they've yet to answer me, by the way, but I was able to get in a roundabout direction, got some specific questions answered. But, you know, when you need answers, man, you need answers. You can't just be winging it out here, because with these guys, they get you they hold off and not disseminate information or transparent, and they want you to go out there and speak with authority and be completely bass-ackward wrong. That's what they want. They then think that they can manage the conversation and dictate the flow. But I got to, you know, there's friends out there and they're good people. So what is the status of these contracts and how much has been paid to the company before they stop work? The answer is, Performance Systems has advised the city that the federal officials that PSI voluntarily defaulted contracts with various government agencies. If information under the city's contract with PSI is desired, you need to file a request form. You see, you would think that the city and county of Honolulu and the mayor and his people would welcome anybody in pursuit of anybody that has taken tax dollars or defaulted. There may be something other than just what's on the surface. Could be a situation where there's a kickbacks going to the mayor. You never know. I mean, oh, no, we're in Honolulu. That doesn't happen. I'm sorry. Gosh, I got to be more careful. But just in case some kickbacks happen, and maybe just in case some of this money find its way back, you know, the person may have been coming in to collect his amount of money that they have committed to work and completed the 20% work, and you know, but then they know they're going to default on the same day, so okay, well, just give me half and give the other half back to the Democratic Party, or you know, whoever needs it, or you know, something like that, something, who knows. But we in our capacity may be able to find that out, and you would think that the city would be receptive to anybody that's asking questions about a default and tax dollars being spent and unaccounted for, or the jobs that need to be done because they're done because they're critical parts of our daily activities here. They dictate whether we have to drive around 10 miles around or find a way, meander our way through the mountains or back roads to get around a broken bridge or whatever it is. So, the city is working with PSI Bond Company to complete the work on the affected projects, and at this time there's no indication of Bond Company will not fulfill its contractual obligation to complete the work on PSI's contracts with the city. Yeah, right. That's like we did some vetting. We looked at them, and they were really good. We reviewed their record and their background. They had a record, a good standing. Really? How do you get a good standing? Well, a good standing is that you file your annual reports, and then you make sure that your articles are right, and make sure that you get your tax license, and that's it. Now, good standing, if you checked they were in good standing, you probably would have found out that they were in default on a federal contract or a state contract or a city contract, depending on what agency you're with. And then you wouldn't say they have good standings. And I'm talking about this in detail at length because I was shocked that many people had no clue of how they say, oh, they got a contract. They didn't understand that there are checks and balances here that are supposed to be built in. But one thing is heartwarming that in this whole process that I'm finding, people get it. 99.9% of the people that I've spoken to or directly interacted regarding this subject matter, the defaults and the failure to deliver the product that was they contracted with, is that the first thing come to their mind and that come to their lips and it flows off so well is that I think there's kickbacks. I think there's money being transferred to the rail. I think this is what I think. This is what I get from the general public. Now, are we all paranoid? Or do they have historical background to say that seen it once, you've seen it twice, three times is a charm? Well, whatever. So, this situation here with the city, and I try to have this ready for you way back, but again, they don't move. They don't believe they need to answer us. How much delay will any default cause? And at this time, the city does not anticipate any additional costs to taxpayers as a result of PSI default to finish the H-Power solar project, which is close to completion. Yeah, close to completion, but how much of that work is going to be accepted by the new contractor because of the integrity? And see, this is when the money comes good then, because you know money does grow on trees in these situations, because you can say, well, you know, look, if you want your project finished, we're going to have to at minimum go through and inspect every screw, every nut, every bolt before we sign off on this and adopt the work to finish it. We just can't do that. We can't just take it for granted. So that's going to be about a $2 million, $3 million. That's the company's right I mean, I wouldn't come along and accept someone else's work and sign off on it. And you, one morning you read in the newspaper and there's an article that says, "Whoa, building collapse." Now you are likely to be drawn in, sucked into the vortex of having to defend yourself or showing what you did or showing that the screws that were put in there were not substandard, but the ones that were not to be used, or something of that kind of a colorful situation. So it's going to cost the government money either way. And this is when they make money. Bonding companies, surety companies, new people, I'm not signing off on it unless I... So I'll need to contract with some guy to come in and look at the stress, look at the beams, look how they were done, is whether any of them split or compromised. So the Keyhee transfer station that we talked about is the city states that it's back to the State Department of Health waste storage limit as of today, and that's 500 tons. Now we're going to check here soon, and we'll let you know if that is true. And the situation is, it can get better or it can get worse, because this means that the city council and the I wonder how much Ron Manor and those guys would do to inquire, have a hearing, or have a and not an audit, but maybe an audit of that. But, you know, if you got any questions or comments, 524-1080. I got 10 minutes left if you want to, if you've been poised to call in and want to talk, give me a call. 524-1080. So, changing subjects again, we're going to run out here to Miley. I see that the Hazardous Environmental Emergency Response Office sent me, did give a call. I guess the little red shrimp in the stream, you know, when these crustaceans, they die, they start to decay, they turn red, like you boil a shrimp. But it's rather sad when you see streams now, and we don't have that many streams in the state of on the island of Oahu. So we should protect those streams like there's no tomorrow. But we just junk them and dump them, and the crew that's doing the work out there over the stream, it's let's see here, Board of Water Supply. I'm going to pull up this. It just grabs you the wrong way, and it's the Board of Water Supply has, okay, so, and then download. But go to carolcox.com and you'll see some of the photographs that I've posted up on the spill, and I mean, it looks like beet water. It looked like someone actually took beets and ground them up, and it turned red. The water is actually a blood red. And so what this is, apologize for that noise there, Board of Water Supply, job number 16013, Miley Road, 20-inch water main replacement crossing Miley Stream. Contract is Oceanic Companies. Now, we're not saying Oceanic Companies is responsible for this, but what we are saying, that's who's performing work there. And we normally, there's a net or some kind of catchment when there's work being done to keep tools and things. We don't see that. We just see a catwalk that goes across and allowing the men to get access, or the workers to get access. So we're not saying that this company is responsible for that, but we want to know, first of all, what is it? It could be a citizen could have driven by and dumped it, but we didn't see any evidence of any bags or any bottles or anything like that. But my major concern is that it'd be addressed today, and hopefully something will get better. But you got to see this. Hawaii's streams should not be red. No, should not be red. And it's unhealthy. And people, and you can see where the people come and gather fish out of this. There's many of fish traps there, or prawn traps, in the stream. And I'm hoping that they don't go back there and start eating anything out of there now, even touching this water, because we don't know what it is. It's really awful looking. So, anyway, go to carolcox.com, and you can go to Facebook, too. I've posted a number of pictures up there on the fire, that Kunia fire. And I've posted one situation was the heavy black smoke. And I mean, it was black. And you're standing there, and it's coming from an area that I had, over the years and recently documented, had some, looked like 700, 800 thousand more tires someone had dumped illegally. Well, they caught fire. Now imagine a fireman, they get a call, it's a brush fire, right? They're gone. It didn't say an industrial fire. It didn't say a chemical fire. It just says brush is on fire, and so they're gone. And they start to fight it, or strategically place the men and what have you, and to try and battle it and put it out. But what if the fire is burning in such a way with high winds, and now you're trying to contain it? That's all you're trying to do, because it's running ahead of you, and then it hits this pile of tires, and all of a sudden you're standing there. Your men now are in the thick of it, breathing burnt rubber and the chemicals associated with tires, and all of that is being introduced into the environment. And there's some constituents in those tires that you don't want to be ingesting and breathing. Now imagine being firemen, unsuspectingly, it torches. What are you going to do? Go hold off, hold up for a minute. Let's get our breathing mask on and our tanks on. You may do that afterwards, but at the time, it didn't seem to lend itself to that. And so whoever it is out there that feel that you, it's okay to dump tires, just know that you didn't just make some chump change and pocketed the redemption fee. You exposed a number of men and women that could later get sick from this, or breathing that material, that fine rubber, soot. Oh, you made a lot of money, I'm sure, and you probably felt good about it after you pushed that last tire off the back of the truck and made your money. You're going to go out there and buy you some little couple beers and go to Vegas maybe, but who knows how many people you've sickened and the amount of toxins you've introduced to the atmosphere, and not to mention it's going to be there running off into the groundwater, into the streams, into the dust, breathing by people passing by, breathing it. You did a good job, man, woman, whoever it is that dumped that. But think about illegal dumping. Think about it, and think the consequences and what it presents as a problem to. What do we do? It's just, I don't know. It's scary, honestly. You've got people dumping car parts and on and on and on. And I don't know. I'm going to hopefully, once again, you can see that they fear the law. Remember Kimberly Pine telling you she was going to make a law and going to enhance the penalties? Well, go look at the smoke and see if you can enhance that. But anyway, so much was said today, and we'll talk next week. Hope to see you and hope to hear from you. Keep those emails coming and those tips coming, and we'll keep looking at them because we like tips. Like the restaurant guys, we like tips. We love tips, but a different type of tip. So keep them coming, and we'll keep our government, we'll keep an eye on it for you. So you take care, and we'll be back next week. Aloha.